Min, as you return down eventually from the exceptional view of the world high above in space, so far removed from the great threats that seem to trouble this place, with an incredible bird's eye view, the stretch of the mountains rolling around the globe that is this world, you can see the passing of storm clouds, you can see the ashlands above you, you can see Corthalia to the north of you. The ashlands are not quite visible from your perspective. They're in the northern hemisphere, and you are pretty close to the equator where you're at. But you can see past the great forests of the Elven Kingdoms. You can see Corthalia and the Shield Plain. You can see the Verdant Sea, the great grass plains of the Windshire, and where you know the clock tower should be, and the ocean spreading to either side of the continent. The world seems so much smaller, simpler from this view. And as you return, finally bringing yourself back down, Cabal is waiting. What do you do?
As Mint glides back down, taking one last look at the heavens, both around and above, she drops, not necessarily quickly, but not exactly taking her time either, through the air, past the dampness of clouds, into the ever-thickening and ever-growing planet around her. And as she lands once again back on the sands and finds Cabal looking up into the sky watching for her return, she lands on the ground, looks at Cabal, says, "Would you know? The world actually is round." "But have you thought about what I said while I was away?"
And she nods her head. You can tell she has a contemplative look on her face. She stands up from where she was sitting, kind of brushes some of the sand and dust off. She says, "Well, I think, I want to go to the Arcanium."
And nods and says, "It's good. Very good. There is so much there that they will be able to teach you far more and far more professionally than I can. And yes, that is where you do feed the mind. Very good."
And she listens and just kind of nods her head. It's like that settles it then. That's what I want to do. I want to learn. And all the students that come to Saint's Own, and they always have books and scrolls and they're studying, and it just seems so interesting. I want to learn those things."
"And do not let anybody stop you." "And if you have the chance, when you come back to Saint's Own, be sure to, and if I happen to be there, be sure to visit me. Let me know what you've learned."
Yeah. Okay.
But for now, I believe that we need to set up a bit of a camp for Ali Halim. Unfortunately, the way I am now, I can only take 2 people with me to teleport back. And I am most definitely using one of those to bring my actual body back. Kabbal, I assume you are going to be the second?
I guess.
All right. And unfortunately, Shai Halud is a little too big for me to actually bring with me. In order to bring him back, I will have to make another trip and with Ali Halim. And essentially do the same thing that I'm doing with Ashanti. What? I brought food? And we can work on setting up a camp.
And Kabbal comes over and she is ready to follow Min's lead.
Alright, and Min will roll out a bedroll and start staking down a tent. Interesting. It appears the weather isn't as good as we would like it. Not too bad of a sandstorm, but there will be some wind.
Is Min's intention to teleport out before the sandstorm hits and leave Ali Halim there to weather it, or is she gonna stay?
Min wants to make sure that everything is in place for Ali Halim, make sure that he's okay for the beginning of the sandstorm. If things get too bad, she does have a secondary plan. But she did intend to leave Ali Halim in a bit of a safer place. But it will take her a little bit of time to make sure that everything is okay.
Okay. Then it's going to be pretty close, and as you're working on the camp and trying to get things set up, you can see the sandstorm, this wall of sand that's moving across the desert, and you recognize this kind of a storm. You have seen many of them since you were a child, especially being a nomad's child. You've experienced this before, and you know that there is only so much time, and you can kind of gauge that time, and it gets to be a point where you realize you don't have enough time. It's going to get here before you're done and ready to leave. And you can tell that Kabbal is not familiar with this storm, and she keeps looking over at this storm and getting a little bit distracted from her work by the enormity of the storm.
And curses softly under her breath. Says, we might need to hunker down a bit. I might be able to hold a bit of it off, but we might be a bit delayed.
And Kabbal turns and looks back at you, and there's some worry in her face. And says, do you mean we're gonna be here for that?
We might have to be.
At that point, you hear the sound of a voice, coming from a little bit off to your south, and it's the sound of someone who is riding, leading, driving camels by the sound of it. And you can hear their voices saying, "Come now, come. We must get ahead of the storm. Don't give up on me now. And as you look over, it takes a little bit of time before you catch sight, but they're moving just from behind where some dunes had blocked the view. You can see three camels, two of them heavily loaded down with stuff, but the lead camel has a rider on it, and he seems to be trying to coax them along at the fastest rate that they can go.
And Min, seeing another, I'm assuming nomad, holds up her hand and says, "Ho there, traveler! I see that storm is catching up with you as well. Would you like to..."
And he turns and seeing, kind of puts his arm up to try to look and see where you're at, and he sees where you are and says, Ah, salam, and may fate smile upon you.
And Min,
this is a terrible place to be.
And smiles and says, especially upon hearing someone who also seems to follow her, also chosen deity, and says, "Indeed, may fate smile upon you as well. And I wish we had better circumstances. Should we perhaps bunk together? I'm not sure if we'll both be able to outrun this storm."
"I don't think that outrunning the storm is going to happen." And he brings his camels over, dismounts, and you can see he's a old, kind of haggard-looking merchant with a graying beard, and his clothes look like they're dusty and dirty from the travel. You can see his skin looks leathery. He's got a few notable scars even on his face. Looks like he's definitely seen some life experiences. But he brings the camels over and says, "Come and help me. If we can take down one of the tents, we can use it to give us some shelter."
"Well, not a problem. I thank fate that you are able to make it this time. We are about to be caught alone, and a storm like this is not one that I would wish to be alone in. But come, let me help."
And he smiles and looks over at Cabal and smiles very disarmingly towards her as well and says, "Come, come, little one. You can help us well. And fate smiles upon us, even in treacherous weather as this. It is not good to be alone. And I am glad for your company. Now, let's see if you are good at putting in stakes." And he passes a small mallet over to Cabal, along with some of the tent stakes, and begins setting up the tent. And what takes you then probably about the next 15 minutes to get set up, which is really pushing it. The storm is almost on you. By the time you're able to get everything in, and he gets his camels to lay down just in the on the protected side of the tent, and all of you make it inside just as the storm kind of overtakes you. But as you are inside, he pulls out a small lamp, lights it, and turns it up so that the light intensifies. And it's just a small oil lamp, but it lights the interior well enough. And so he turns to look back and says, "Ah, well, now that we have become very close friends, I would love to know why you are out here in the desert."
And Min laughs and says, "Well, I am actually just visiting home for the first time in a while. I wanted to... Well, I wished to be home. when I tried a few things that might be a bit more life-changing than others. And I'm curious to ask you the same question. It is a ways away from the oasis.
Yes, well, the paths in the desert are long and lonely. I am on my way east, but the storm caught me a little unawares, and I thought I might make my way back, but that was not really going to happen.
Indeed. Well, I am glad that you made it here. But,
and when we look around, are there? Is it just the empty inside of the tent, or are there things to look at?
It is. It's pretty much just the empty inside of the tent. He's got a lot of his gear is in there, but it's all still bundled up. It's not set up.
Well, perhaps. It is fate's will, and a name that I do not often hear invoked. Do you know of fate?
Ah, yes, yes. I am a great believer in fate and her hand in this world.
As am I, and Min will actually pull out her holy symbol.
That is very special. I have not seen one of these in a long time.
It means quite a bit to me. I have studied the old ways, but there is still so much to learn.
There are not many these days who follow in the steps of fate and trust to her guidance. It is good to meet one who is so interested. But why? Why do you set about to follow fate?
I choose to know more about where our people came from. Fate herself has always been impartial. Wherever you go, she is with you. And, well, I had only hoped that fate would continue to guide me. It's nice knowing that your steps are directed. Though you may stumble, and though you may falter, your end destination is already decided.
Are you then a historian?
A bit of one. I search the mysteries of the, I'm sure you probably heard it, the old Bishani Empire, wherever it can be found. Unfortunately, I have not been as successful as I would have hoped. Have you heard of some of the old stories?
Oh, I have heard a few of them. Of course, they are very old stories now, but they are passed down, and as children you hear these stories. I'm sure you did, but there are many great stories. Stories of the gods of old and of the great city of Kunbar. Although, I would be careful digging around those places now. It is not nearly so safe as the stories.
And nods, thinking back to the being that she's encountered. She says, I have already found one, or more accurately, I could say that it found me. It has brought me quite a bit of interest to know more about
what could be lurking there, if not to study it, but to better know what to avoid. The past tends not to stay in the past. But oh, I am an incredibly crude guest. I believe I should introduce both myself and my traveling companions. Like, I am Elman Dreda Sim Bahalim Shiantri. This is my friend Kabal, and this is Ali Halim, a traveler who travels with me.
Kabal just kind of nods, but she's quiet. And the merchant spreads his arms wide, bows his head, says,
"Ah, I am honored to spend this time with you and share a tent with you. I am Simba, and I travel these lands, and sometimes others, selling my wares and meeting interesting people, just like you."
Should I make an intelligence check, or how would you like me to do this? Would she just assume that he's another nomad also like her, named after Simba?
He looks just like a normal nomad. There's nothing outstanding about him.
Alright. And says, "Ah, I see that you too carry the names of old. It is an honor, is it not?"
"It is. There are many great figures of the past. And to bear any of their names is an honor and a privilege. To carry their legacy forward."
"Well, if you are truly a traveling merchant, I'm sure you might have a few interesting wares to peruse, and you have a captive customer."
"Well, that is true. I may have a few things. But we have some time."
"This is true, though there is one thing I will give to you free of charge. Consider it a gift if your travels bring you northward." And Ben will reach into her pack and pull out a coaster.
"Ah, Saint Song.
See, you've heard of it, yes."
"And how is he?"
"Sorry?"
"And how is Mr. Saint?"
"He does well. I recently joined into his, at least temporarily, employ. We are going to be introducing something new. Perhaps it will benefit you as well, but it is a good ways away. But business as well, it grows. And we had new visitors of a more interesting type every day."
"That is very good. And has his sister returned?"
"Sister."
And an intelligence check to see if Saint has ever spoken of his sister.
Yeah, go ahead and make that check.
A total of 16 on just pure intelligence.
You can remember one time when he mentioned having a sister, but he's never spoken more about her. So he mentioned that he had a sister, but that she was away. And she didn't come up since then.
Alright. And says, "Well, he doesn't talk about her much, but I do not believe she has returned. Do you know she's in danger, or someone needs to find her?"
cannot say. But I know that they were close as children. So, hopefully she will return to the family.
I hope so as well. I would hate to bring it up and cause him pain, especially for this person who is simply an employee, but if there is any way I could help, I would do what I could.
That is the mark of a true hero. One who deserves to carry such a noble name.
I do not know about hero. My friends and I, we have done things. We have helped people. But mostly, we bring them a smile. We make them laugh. Avalon's finest, as we call ourselves. It's mostly just a traveling troupe. But who knows? Perhaps one day, we might be more.
A traveling troupe. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, trust me, it is. And I'm sure that you understand the nomad life. It's what I am used to. But traveling with others, traveling with friends, traveling with family makes all the difference.
Family is a gift, and one to be treasured, that is for sure. But family also brings care and concern. And you care for them, don't you?
Yes, very much so. I don't talk about it much, but I worry about them just about every day, especially when we're apart like this. I could only wish that I could care for them better, help them better.
I think you will find in yourself the strength that you need to accomplish these goals. But do not forget that there is great strength in them as well. Oftentimes, we fail to see the strength in the ones we care most about, because we only see them as needing us. In truth, we need them as much as they need us. And to fail to recognize their abilities can sometimes push them away.
Looks over Cabal. Looks back to Simba and says, I am beginning to understand. But it does not change the fact that I still care. And I still worry. I could be the strongest beings that I've ever seen, and many of them are. But I will still care, and I will still worry, and I will still do what I can to help them on their way.
You have a very good heart, Elmendreda. A very good heart. I believe fate smiles upon you.
I can only hope that she does. I really do hope. And I hope that she smiles on you as well.
Thank you. I trust that she does. As I, a simple pilgrim, follow in the steps before me. And you must do that also. Do not be afraid of the steps that come. Only take them one at a time, and know that those who see further into the future than us order our steps.
Indeed. The world is so much bigger than just ourselves and our minds. I will continue to leave it to the gods. But I will continue to do my part. Though I am curious. It is rare to find a fellow follower of fate. What does fate mean to you?
Fate is peace. Fate is confidence. Fate is knowing that you are never alone. Never have been. Every step is ordered. Every experience planned. And though they are not always comfortable or pleasurable, they are important to making you who you are meant to be. And so everything has a purpose. This meeting has a purpose. And although it may be forgotten, it will leave a fingerprint, and like a tiny broken piece of pottery that finds its way into the corner of a mosaic, it becomes one small part of many small parts that form the beautiful picture that is a life lived according to fate. That is how I have lived. From humble beginnings to now. As fate has willed it.
Edmund smiles, hearing his description of fate. And liking it. She says, then I too shall choose to live my way in that same pattern. To be a piece of the mosaic. Or they thread in the tapestry. But although our actions may seem small, it echoes and vibrates out into eternity. This has been a good night, been a good talk. Truly was fate who ordained our meeting.
And he looks over to where Cabal has nodded off to sleep.
Ah, I think this storm will assuage before too long. But we will be safe here.
Here is where you shall stay. Though before it does end, I promised to at least peruse a few of our wares.
Ah, yes, yes. Well, I have a few things that you might find useful. One of them, let me see.
And he opens a bag and is careful to open it in a way that you can't really see inside, but he pulls out what looks like a water skin, and you can see as he pulls it out, it looks like it's full and it's heavy with liquid.
This is a wine skin, but it will never run out. and the vintage is excellent. Would you care to try some?
I would indeed, actually.
And he pours a goblet, which he pulls out also, and hands it to you. And if you taste it, it is extremely good. Since the bag was made for the Cataclysm, the vintage has gotten to be very good.
It says, ooh, this is good. How much is it?
I would...
Or perhaps let's not ruin the showing with the talk of pricing yet.
That is a good idea. Now, this, and he pulls out what appears to be a walking stick. This particular stick is rather dangerous. You can take it, and if you strike something with it, and speak the command word, then it will destroy that target. It will completely render it to powder and dust.
Min's eyes widen.
However, this stick will also be rendered to powder and dust. It is possible that it will not necessarily destroy every target. There are some that are more powerful than that. But an average person, it would be comparable to, say, are you familiar with a fireball?
I am, though I do not have the strength or the propensity to use one on my own.
This would be like that, but without all of the burning. And only on the one target.
That could be extremely useful. I can already think of things and ways to use that.
Now, there is also this. And he starts reaching around and pulls out two journals and an ink pen. And he says, here. And he hands you one of the books. And if you open it, there are empty pages. There's nothing written in them. But then he opens the other one and he begins to write in it. And as he writes in it, you see the letters appear in your journal. As he just writes on the one page, says, this is a book of messages. You can write in the one and it will appear on the other, and vice versa.
Oh, this...
this is virtually limitless in distance.
Once again, Min's eyes widened. This would have been incredibly handy to have right before our group separated. And honestly, could still be so. How many pages does it have?
If you take a look, the book is probably about a half inch thick or so. It's probably got about 50 pages in it.
All right, make a note. Write small. It is a great one. So far, you have not shown me a thing I have not been interested in. You seem to know me rather well.
Then let me tempt fate, as it were. And he reaches in and he pulls out what looks to be just a cloth bag, just a kind of a rough sack. And he opens it and he starts pulling out some dried herbs and leaves. These are for divining. If you are going to scry or seek divine counsel, you can boil or burn some of these leaves and it will increase your natural propensity, as if you are a more powerful caster in that magic.
Ooh, tea leaves. I like that. And once again, these things, I wish I had met you earlier. But it will happen again. Fate be tempted, you are right.
And he looks almost like he's trying to decide if he should pull out anything else, but he just kind of stops there and says, I think that is probably enough for now.
Right, for now. And although I do not know your route, I am sure fate will lead us together once again.
It may happen. So, what would you like?
Definitely the wineskin with the wine. I could see a few ways how you could make a few friends. Perhaps even, if you are friendly enough, loosen a few tongues if need be. And it is not bad for the occasional celebration. The wineskin is a definite. A bound book of messages. I think that one will also be incredibly useful. Already our companions have had trouble with communication, and when I am not nearby, I have to use quite a bit of magical strength in order to continue to communicate. To be able to have at least one of our members to be able to write and have written back. It is incredibly useful. That one also is a good idea. And perhaps a few of the divining leaves. The staff of destruction. I am worried about that one. I'm afraid I might use it in not the best way.
Very well. The leaves I will sell you for... I would sell you for 20 gold a measure. So, depending on how many times you would want to be able to use them, that would impact the price.
Min sits back and thinks, and character would know, but player does not, is haggling encouraged or discouraged in their culture?
Haggling generally is encouraged in their culture.
Okay, and she would follow the cultural norm, because I'm afraid of her just accepting it and him being like, oh, well, that's a bit of an insult. But she'd say, well, the divining leaves, they are good, but 20 gold pieces. You can get a lot of talk out of 20 gold pieces. Perhaps, since I am already purchasing some of the wine as well, we could move that down to, say, 14 gold pieces, a measure?
Go ahead and make a diplomacy check.
All right. Total 12.
16.
16 does sound good. It is definitely heading in the right direction. But though you have not mentioned, how much stronger would
one be if they use these leaves in their divining?
Because I'm not sure how to answer that in question, it will give you a +2 to your caster level.
Okay. So increases you by twice the heightening. This is very rare. Usually one is the most that you'll get out of something alchemical such as this. And I do know a bit about alchemy. 15.
Assuming another diplomacy check?
Yeah, give me another diplomacy check.
Oh, this is so much better. It's actually a natural 20 for a total of 26.
Very well. 15 it is. Now, the wineskin that you keep talking about. I will sell that to you for...
'Don't actually know if there's a pathfinder to that.
Probably an endless decanter of water. So that is actually... no.
That is... okay.
Though it does have different effects, such as actually making geysers and such.
Yeah.
I would sell this to you for 1,000 gold.
1,000 gold? That is a king's ransom. I'm sure the vintage is good, but that would purchase quite a lot of parties. Let's say something closer to 600. 600 gold definitely was... quite a lot, but seems more akin to essentially a good time.
Then give me a diplomacy check.
Total of 11.
I will not go below 750. It is a king's ransom, but it did belong to a king.
And realizing that she's probably not going to get much lower than that, she will say,
fair enough. To live like kings, 750 gold pieces sounds fine.
And for the journals of message. Let's say... Five hundred gold.
Perhaps... I could see how this could definitely be useful, though I already possess the ability to communicate with people across long distances, so I do have to be near them in order to do that. It could be useful, yes, I see, but perhaps... You said 500? 300 sounds much more akin to something that would be useful.
Alright, give me a diplomacy check.
Much better. 18.
300. That is an insult. How can you expect me to sell it for 300? I would have to get... oh. At least 350.
And chuckles and says, you drive a hard bargain, but because you You have already provided shelter for both me and my friends. 350. That I can accept.
Then we have a deal.
It's a deal. It is quite a pleasure doing business with you.
Ah, it is my pleasure. And I'm glad we have had this time.
Yes,
it is good to have met you. And I feel better knowing that there are such young and powerful souls walking in the ways of fate. And look, I think this storm has stopped. And he kind of pulls back the tent curtain. Yeah, it does. How are you doing out here? See, you did not blow away. And you thought you were going away. You should trust me. And he looks back and says, don't ever get camels. They never agree with you, and they don't trust you.
I will take your words of wisdom to heart. I'm usually more of a horse person, especially when traveling up north. Our wagon does get far, and if you hear of Avalon's finest, please stop by and come for a show.
If I am ever in the place where you are performing, I would be honored to see you perform.
All right, well, I have almost forgotten I actually have a new drink to reintroduce. Mac over at Staines. Thank you for letting me know about his sister, eh? I'll try to be subtle and bring it up.
It is a difficult family secret. But he loves her. And I believe he misses her. If she has not returned yet, then I would hope she would return soon.
That's what I, if it is a sore subject, perhaps it would be best for me to be a bit more discreet. Perhaps find where she is. Find out if she does, would rather not be found. But if she does, perhaps drop a hint that I've found a friend in my travels. Let Saint know. Ask if he knows her.
That may well work. Now, if you will help me pack this tent away again, then I must be on my way, as the storm has passed, and I have much time that I must make up if I am going to make it all the way back east. My path had hoped to lead me to the North Cap on the borders of the Elven Kingdom, but I don't know if I will make it there tonight. Probably tomorrow night.
Perhaps. And, well, may fate ensure that the winds stay at your back and keep the sand out of your eyes.
And may fate guide you. And as you finish packing his camels up and he mounts up onto his camel, and as he's getting ready to go, he looks back down to you and says, may fate guide you, Elmindreda. Do not give up your search. The gates to the Empire are not closed forever, and the old gods may yet be found. Peace, and walk in fate's light. And he turns and begins to ride his camels back in the direction he came from, moving back to the northeast. And as you watch him go, a thought sticks out in your mind that you never told him anything about that.
It is. Aunt. He is perceptive.
And, once again, thoughts on whether or not Min should make an intelligence check.
You can if you want to.
I'll go for it. Okay. That's a total of 25. Natural 19 on the die. This Min begins to think. This... No, it couldn't be. And yet, I did ask. And suddenly Min has much to think about. But she will grab Cabal and send Ali Halim into inside Shai Hulud. Say, stay inside. I will be back. Don't get into too much trouble. I much to think about, but for now, I need to get Cabal and myself back to Saint-Son. And she takes out her bedroll and finds her... She finds... Oh, no. I can stand and walk. Finds Ashanti, who is currently inhabiting her body. And she'll grab Ashanti's hand with one hand and Cabal's hand with the other. And then just take one last glance over her shoulder to the east before teleporting back to Saint-Son.
And when you look back to the east, although the camels certainly couldn't have gotten that far, there's no sign of them anywhere. There's not even camel prints in the sand. Not even by where you're at. There's simply nothing. No sign that they were ever there.
Edmund, go ahead.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Edmund begins to feel faintest surge in her heart as she takes a quick breath and says, "All right, it's time to go." And she blinks out of the desert, back far to the north, back to Saint-Son.
And as you appear in the back, private enough that such an entry would not cause alarm, but in Saint-Son you can hear the clinking of glasses, the working of various mixing tools, and their conversation in the other room. You can smell the coffee and the teas, and you can hear bits of laughter as this is high time for students that are there studying and cramming. And as you come back around the corner, Cabal with you, you can see Saint is busy mixing. He's got his various unseen servants, which you've been around him enough to know at this point that he has 5 castings of unseen servant at any one time, moving about the place, working with him. And so drinks are being, are being mixed, dishes are being washed, everything's being done all around. Plates are being picked up off the tables, are being bussed and cleaned, and refills are being given. And the students continue to talk and laugh or study. But you're back at Saint-Son. And as Saint sees you, he says, "Ah, just in time. Everyone, now unveiling our newest drink, free for your taste testing." And he puts out very small cups. "I'd like to unveil the Crimson Bull." Is that what we were calling it? Crimson Minotaur, was that it?
Crimson Minotaur, yes.
"The Crimson Minotaur. This one was not my creation, but rather that of my associate, Elman Drader. So, if you dare to try it, all of you who are cramming, may well give you what you need to get through." And several come up ready to try this new drink, and he pours little shots of it for them to taste. And they drink it, and some are like, wow, this tastes really good. Others are like, I can feel the energy already surging inside of me. How much for a cup? And then he smiles and says, 200 gold. And on goes the night as another expensive, overpriced drink gets added to his menu.
Fenman will help serve out the drink and will say, if you ever wished to have the strength of a, or the tirelessness of a machine, you could go all night with this, working, cramming, studying. Who here has pulled an all-nighter as you've studied? Now imagine you didn't have to feel tired the next morning as you were taking your exams.
At that, like, five more people all come up and purchase one as well. Because this is definitely a testing season, and they are interested in staying up all night and not being tired the next day. And as the night passes, you finally get away, and after shift is over, you get your quiet moment. As you turn in for the night to sleep, you're just drifting off to sleep into your dreams. You dream of that desert, of that merchant, his eyes, the lone scar that drops down from his left eye across his cheek, a kind face, a face that seems so wise, maybe a face out of time, hard to forget, and at the same time just seems like a nice person. Like an uncle or a grandfather. And as you are thinking over this, as you're dreaming, you hear a familiar voice behind you. It says, am I intruding upon your dream?
And then chuckles and says, ah. And she turns around, I'm assuming still in the desert, as her dreamscape doesn't really change.
Yeah.
She says, ah, a little bit, but come, stay a while. She sits back on a sand dune.
And Solas comes over and does a slow walk around the frozen image of Simba. Says,
he is a nice-looking old man.
Older than you would think, would imagine. I can't, still can't believe I actually got to meet him. I wish I'd realized earlier there are so many other questions I could have asked, but no, I think this is right.
Is he your father?
He... Not quite. He serves the mother of all. Fate. The mother of the high gods.
So he is like a champion of your deity.
He is, I guess. It's hard to describe.
Solas snuffs a little bit, but you recognize the sound. It's comparable to kind of a scrunching of the shoulders or something, like a sort of a thing.
it is. The first servant of fate. Although many footsteps. I think it's mostly just me.
He looks like he is just an old man. But looks can be deceiving.
Indeed. Indeed. Trust me, I'm sure the members of the Highwatch Abbey didn't mean to put you in the stables, but as you say, looks can be deceiving for everyone.
It was all right. I really didn't hold it against them. As it was, the horses had some good things to say. Is Cabal all right?
As far as I know, I had a bit of a talk with her. Hope to give her direction, hope to give her purpose. She is going through something that very few of us have to suffer through. She's lost her family. Her people. And her original goal. I had hoped that she would not sink into despair. And she looks over at Solastis. As much as I wish to ask what she dreams about tonight, I think that would be unfair to her.
And Solas nods her head, her mane shifting as she does.
I think that you would be right. It is possible for me to go and see, and for her not to know that I was there. But that might be wrong. I've only done that a few times.
And back stiffens ever so slightly and just says, yes, I think you're right. That would probably be wrong.
Oh, I had a message for you.
Really?
From a bird that came to the abbey looking for you. But all of you had gone. It was a message from Bilia. Apparently she and Barkus have found the giants.
Ah. And, I am curious. What? Just for the continuity sake, Min will say, ah, I see. Good, good, good. They found them. I was scheduled to contact them tomorrow to see how their search had gone. And the other part of the message that would be useful to have. They just found them. I really hope they didn't engage.
The message did not say anything about engaging with them. Only that they had found them, and that they were going to pursue them to get the hammer back. That is what you all wanted, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Yes. Perhaps tomorrow. Yes, definitely tomorrow. I'll contact them. Make sure that they're okay. They found what they were looking for. And, well, yes.
I'm sure they will be all right. Barkus and Bilia are very good at what they do.
good indeed. Tomorrow's another day. Was there anything else that you wish to talk with me about?
Well, I have decided to go east again. I think I will go to Ravenspear. It might be an enjoyable trip.
Indeed, then let me know how things go when you get there.
I have not been to Ravenspear specifically, but I've heard it is a great city, and the dwarves live mostly underground.
Perhaps I will also go visit sometime. But once our group gets back together, definitely.
I hope, while I am there, to find out more about the druids from the Vault of Thorns. I think there is more to be uncovered in that, and in their story. But I won't know until I look.
And that's always the truth. You'll never know what you find until you look.
I will be messaging Ruka, probably, if there is time. Is there anything you want me to tell her?
But I will be visiting her, well, probably the day after tomorrow. Yes. There is much that I need to talk with her about as well.
I will take that message for you.
Thank you very much. Now, if you do not mind, I have much more to... not quite daydream, as it's probably 2 a.m., but night dream about. Thank you so much, Solas. Go ahead.
Am I in the way? If it is easier for you, I can go.
Oh, actually, if you'd like to spend it with me, I do not mind.
I can stay a little longer, but I do need to have time to speak to Ruka before she wakes up.
All right. And Min turns back to her dream, and now that she's a little bit more lucid in her dream, she begins to envision the traveler. Envision him with his camels. Inside a tent, it's a little bit more opulent. And two large tigers at his side. She smiles as she sits back and just thinks and imagines and wonders what else the world has to offer.
I don't understand why you would put tigers in here.
It makes the stories come more to life, I guess. It's once again hard to explain. I think there is. Pretty sure there is.
I would think there should be peacocks. And she is actually going to use one of her abilities. So go ahead. Technically, you have to make a will save.
I'm going to assume that they begin to flicker, and Min's like, I like the tigers, as she rolls a 31 on her will save.
Yep, and she is not able to interfere with your dream. Otherwise, she could actually, if she succeeded, make you think that it was your own idea. and that it was always like that.
Well, that's terrifying.
But peacocks are so much nicer than tigers. Tigers try to eat you.
They do, but they represent a strength and a power that... Well, peacocks don't quite have, unless they are angry. They're like geese like that, terrible when they're angry.
Geese are also very terrible. I have never met a nice goose.
Neither have I. Pretty sure they're one of the punishments that were left when the world was created.
I have always thought that they probably came from the underworld.
Well, probably spat out. Told to get out.
And Soloth nickers a little bit at that, a little bit of a chuckling laugh. And she just looks over the place, looks at your dream, but doesn't say a whole lot else. And after a little while, she finally says,
I will bid you farewell now. If you prefer, I can remove myself from this dream so that you can have had it all to yourself.
Mint thinks and says, no, I would like to remember you being here.
And she smiles. I like that too. Before fading into nothing and being gone. And as you continue to dream and think about all of this, Ruka, you too are asleep. Although it's getting into the morning hours. And what do you dream about?
It is much more peaceful than the last time Solas had been there in her dreams. The dreamscape around her has a eastern feel, and a small village is around her. She's currently dreaming of her hometown.
As you dream of your hometown, walking through the village, you can smell breakfast on the fires. You can see the wash is being set out in baskets to take down to the river to clean. Wood has been split, and now the children are gathering and taking inside, and you can see the village coming to life around you, even as the sky brightens. All of the Kitsune people moving about, doing their thing. And as you take in the scene, remembering your own home, your eyes finally coming to rest on that house that you grew up in, though you've been away from it for so long, you hear the gentle voice of Solas behind you as she says, this is a very nice village.
It is nice and peaceful. Hopefully it will be able to remain that way.
Do you fear for their safety?
With what we've seen in the north, I fear for the safety of all, given enough time.
But you did defeat the giant.
The giant is not the greatest threat this world has.
There are always other threats in this world, but they will come and go in their own time.
The dragons have been here for a few hundred years now. They're not going to leave on their own.
No, I do not think that they will. I think they will have to be helped.
I hope to be part of that help at some point.
You are strong. I think you probably will be. You are all very strong.
She just gives a small grin at that, but doesn't reply. It's been a few days since I've heard from you. Have you seen the others?
I have, and I have a message. Philia has sent a bird back to Highwatch. It arrived the other day and said that they had found the trail of the giants. I think this might have been a delayed message, but nevertheless, it has arrived. So, they probably have the hammer and are bringing it back now.
Maybe. I would hope they wouldn't have pushed their luck so far.
Well, you may be right, but they are strong. And they may well be able to take the hammer by force, if it is only a few half-beaten giants.
It's not that I doubt their strength, but what we've seen Agrimash capable of is truly frightening.
I believe you, although I must admit that I have not actually seen it used myself. Maybe that is a good thing. Perhaps. And she looks like she was about to do something, and then she's like, but I do not want to spoil your dream.
That would be appreciated. Quick out of character comment. Solas did manipulate Ruka's dream last time, didn't she?
She helped it, but dreams also have a tendency of kind of growing in the direction that you're thinking. I tend to think of dreams and moving in dreams is similar to moving in VR. You kind of in the direction you look and then you teleport there. So it's not entirely the same as real life moving around.
Right. The question is whether Ruka would recognize that Solas could manipulate dreams like that.
Make a That's interesting. There are not very many people who can make an Arcana check.
Okay, because if I recall the way it was worded last time, Solas was the one that pulled Ruka up to the top of the wall. It's a 19.
Okay. You're thinking about it. You know that there are those who have power over dreams. Obviously, Solas has some of that power. But it is not something that is common in civilized magic. It's not something that you're going to find a lot of at the Arcanium. There are some spells that have to deal with dreams, but she seems to be very specialized in working with the dream state. And that's something much more natural. It has to do with who she is and what she can do. Not something that she's learned.
So after the comment about spoiling a dream, it would be appreciated that you do not. What is it you could do?
I could do a lot. Do you want me to show you?
Sure. Be interested in a demonstration.
For this purpose, then, it would be best if you don't resist.
She nods and will purposely fail the will save.
Then she's going to begin as she looks at you first and kind of closes her eyes. She focuses a little bit. And the first thing is she disappears. She wasn't there. You're here by yourself. Then you begin to look around, and the village is different. There's a well in the center of the village. That's right, it's that same well that's always been there. As she is using she's using So Thoughts and Suggestion with the Dream Spinner ability to make you believe that those things have always existed there. And then after you walk around the village with, you know, the castle that was right behind your house and, you know, a few other random things that get thrown in there. Also the random, you know, dragon that is locked up in a pen out back. She will reappear. She will reverse all of those effects so that you're not left with a permanently scarred memory of what your hometown looked like. And then she will tell you, that is a little bit of what I can do. I also have been able to find out a little bit about you. And she begins to tell you your mother's name, your father's name, which house was your house, and how old you were when you left. And she begins to retell parts of your past. As she used the Dream Thief ability, which allows her to essentially look through your memories. And then she says, but I tried not to look too deep, but you wanted to know what I could do. That's most of it. The other part you'll find out when you wake up.
I don't know whether to be impressed or scared.
If you are scared, I could make you forget that this all happened. Then you would not be scared.
I really didn't want to hear that. No, please don't.
I am sorry. I don't think this went well.
Well, I'm glad you trust me enough to reveal that.
You are my friend. You are all my friends. So I trust you. I have another memory, or message, to share with you.
Oh?
I spoke with Min. She is doing well. She is spending time with an old man in the desert. She said she is well, and the Cabal is well. I don't know why they were in the desert, but she seemed to think that he was important. In any case,
did you know which desert? Did she visit her home?
I do not know. Although there are not many deserts like it. They were in a tent, and there were tigers. I told her peacocks were better, but she insisted on tigers.
I think I agree with Min.
Tigers are horrible.
Well, her ears poke out from under her hair. I think I can relate with the tigers a little closer.
And Solas, her ears twitch a little bit, frustratingly. She says, I will resist the temptation to change that.
Again, that is appreciated.
In any case, Min said that she is going to be coming to visit you. She has much to tell you. But I don't think that she was mad. So you're all right.
We spoke only a couple days ago. I guess I'll wait for her next contact then.
Are you all right?
I'm getting there. I found part of what I'm looking for.
That is good. Have you found any more of Corazon's people?
Her ears droop a little bit at that question. Not alive. unfortunately. I found his village. What's left of it.
I am sorry.
I knew what I would find when I went looking for it.
If it helps, I have been studying the druids from the Vault of Thorns. One of their number was of Alisar. I don't know much more than that. But there was a Balasar woman who was with them. By all accounts, a powerful druid in her own right.
That's interesting. I don't know. I unfortunately haven't been able to learn too much of the people. I do know they are varied. They're not all like Corazon. Where did you find this information? Have you been back to the vault?
I have not been back to the vault, but I was studying the images, the embossments on the panels, and then I used divine magic to do what there were no books to give me. Still, the information is very small. And I do not know her name, but I am determined to understand them.
You can look into the past.
I can ask questions and narrow my research.
Could you do something like that with what we found in the bones? Could you learn about things before the calamity?
It is possible.
Her eyes brighten a little bit at this. There's so much that I would love to know about that time period. What happened?
I will see what I can find, and then I will share it with you.
Ruka gives a big smile. Thank you for anything you can do, yes.
It is almost dawn. I should let you wake up.
She nods. I do have things I need to get done today, so that would be good.
And Solas bids you farewell and fades out of your dream. And as you wake up, you find yourself leaned up kind of against the wall of the cave where you've been hiding out, across the room from where your bedroll was laid, where you know that you laid down to sleep. And laid out in front of you is a book. There's a writing pen, there's a candle, unlit, but just a few things spread out in front of you, as well as your morning breakfast or some meager assembly of such set on a small plate. And written on just one of your pieces of parchment, hopefully you had one that wasn't worth that much, written on it is just a simple statement, this is the other thing I can do.
She has plenty of paper to write on. But her eyes go wide at all the implications of what could be done with this. And is very glad Solas is on their side. But she finishes her morning routine and will head out for her plans for the day.
Okay. And as you head out for your plans, this is only the second time we've been up to see Ruka, correct?
I believe so. Maybe third, but the first was pretty short.
Okay, so we'll stay with you for a little bit more. As you go about your business, the day passes, the next day passes. It comes around to the time that Min, you are making your trip up to go visit Ruka.
And Min would have... Ruka, did you move since the last time Min had contacted you?
Yes. So go through the contact part.
Okay. In that case, Min would have contacted Ruka using an image of her and a piece of her hair. The DC would be in the high 30s.
Right. So as the scrying orb comes into existence, Min would see Ruka sitting on a log, the light of a fire comes into the 10-foot radius, and Ruka seems to be watching something across the fire that's out of the range of the sensor.
Alright. And Min would cast message however many times it would take before it could actually get through. And she would say, Ruka, just calling to check in once again.
Ruka would stand up a bit suddenly and say, I'll be back. And then turns around and the sensor will see some trees go past as Ruka goes a couple hundred feet away from where she was before speaking. Oh, man. How's it going?
All right. I wish to come visit, though am I interrupting something?
Not particularly.
That sounds like a yes.
Well, set up camp for the night. Not going anywhere for another several hours.
Is it still all right if I come by?
Yeah, Sola said you needed to talk.
I do.
Yeah.
All right, then. I shall be there in less than a minute.
And Ruka will describe that she's gone east a day's worth east of where she was before.
And it's good to know. It would have been quite the walk.
And yes, Min will essentially, while keeping the scry up so she can see the location, will teleport.
And she'll say, all right, good. It's good to see you face to face. There is much to discuss.
Has something happened in the last few days?
Yes. Yes, it has. Remember when I asked you for a favor?
It wasn't so long ago, but yes.
I think now is the time that I am going to call it in. There are two things that I would like for us to very quickly discuss.
Okay. Just talking, that's all you're gonna ask for?
Talking, and I will ask for you to keep an open mind and at least wait until I have said my piece before making any judgments or taking any particularly rash actions.
Okay. He's going to roll a quick sense motive. What does a 26 get out of her?
Pure poker face, as Min rolls a 28.
Her eyes narrow a bit that she's not able to read anything, but you know, she nods. Okay.
Alright, the very first thing. And this will seem unusual, but do you still have the black book? The one that Jack, yourself, and I all discussed.
She nods and slung around her neck and hung off to her side is the satchel she's had for the entire time Min has known her. It's still in the bag.
I think I did a bit of research. Soul searching, searching the stars and finding answers. I believe that we have successfully removed the many. Which is incredibly grieving. And I do not believe that there is any retribution coming.
How would you be able to know that?
I've communicated, or communed, the threads of fate itself. Not easy, but it can be done.
How much? Would I have to make a religion check to see how much Ruka would know about how that works?
I mean, I guess religion or arcana, it's still a spell.
Is it an arcane spell?
It is not.
I think that would actually be religion, wouldn't it?
Just double checking really quickly.
It's gonna be a 19 in whatever it ends up being.
All right, if it doesn't matter, I believe this DC is 15 plus the spell level.
Well, the basic thing I'm looking for is, does she realize this is communing with a deity? Basically talking to a god.
I mean, probably?
Okay. So, you spoke to one of the higher beings? One of the ones that call themselves gods? And they told you this?
I do not believe that fate considers herself a god, as you would. It's more complicated than that. She guides the direction of, well, the workings of the world.
Well, I suppose one like that would have a better way of knowing. None of the other many are going to be pursuing us.
Doesn't appear to be so. Which does bring me to my thought. Now that we do not need to worry about the many, do we still need to worry about the book? I would like to see if we could at some point ask Jack to either take it with her on her journeys, as she seems to be rather good at staying out of trouble, or simply destroy it.
Just because the one isn't pursuing us, do we really not want to... Do we want to leave the others to work whatever evil they wish?
This is true. Which the other option is, perhaps we could take the time to actually read it. But that is an option that, well, we can revisit in a little while. I do have the second thing I wish to discuss with you about.
Wouldn't that technically be a second favor? She has a little bit of a grin that she's not really considering it such.
He says, oh, well, the favor was for you to listen until I had finished saying what I had to say. That could go on quite a while.
Well, I suppose.
But regardless, Uruka, you were the one. And when it sits back and thinks, it says, do you believe in the inherent goodness or evil of any sort of creature? Any being? That a creature with a mind cannot help but choose to walk in the way of light or walk in the way of darkness.
Those with a mind have the power to choose what it is they do.
And nods and says, what would you say if an individual had looked at the orcs or half-orcs and said they are nothing more than mindless beasts, prone to nothing but slaughter and destruction?
We have seen that that is not true. They seek strength. But as I have seen, it is not mindless destruction. It's not like the pure monsters that we have seen from beyond, or even the ones that are here to the north.
So you would let them know that you have seen different, that you have seen that one or another of them can change their ways, and that their perspective is only because of their lack of knowledge.
Not even that I would want them to entirely change their ways. You know, their culture is your culture isn't necessarily wrong. It can be guided in the wrong direction, though.
I completely agree. Creatures are not a product of their fleshy physical form. They can be guided towards right or wrong. And if all a creature had ever seen was death, destruction, and the murdering of others, it could be easy for others to look at them and assume that they would follow in the path of their kin.
Perhaps. There are questions in Ruka's eyes. She doesn't see where Min is going with this.
Now, I wanted to bring up Parkas. The way things went before. In the past, and I do not know if that is still the truth, you saw him for what his heritage once was. Perhaps, or even a small glimmer of a different creature in him. And you chose to believe, based on not even so much what you had already seen, you chose to believe that he was wrong and deserved destruction.
If he would be overcome by what was growing within him,
have you seen any evidence of that?
There have been some who started out as one of the civilized races, but due to experimentation, freak accident, disease, have changed into something else and lost who they were, turned into a monster. Seeing such a monster come out, and she just trails off.
And yet that is a creature losing the essence of its mind, losing its personality. And Min comes back and says, do you believe when a creature's physical form changes, that who they are is different?
It depends on how it was done or what happened. It could. Many times it does.
But is that the physical form? Or the mind? A person's body can stay exactly the same as their mind deteriorates or is cursed or is broken through curses or trauma or fear, or even persistent hatred, turned against them, or from inside.
What is it you're trying to get to?
What I'm trying to get to is, what if someone told you that they had found a good dragon. Would you immediately pass it off as an impossibility, something that could never be? Or would your perception be open enough to potentially listen?
Those... The dragons have never shown anything but evil destruction. They've never tried to... Never even tried to communicate with those that were destroyed. They're not... They're monsters. They're not... They're just pure evil.
Some might say that. But some might say that about the orcs as well. They never attempted to communicate. They simply came, killed our people, took our families, broke them, and took what they wanted and left. Yet what you've seen in Barkas, he seems to be able to resist it. He seems to be able to hold on to his mind rather well. Would it be so much to say that there potentially could be another good dragon?
His case is somewhat different. He is a cat, he is not a dragon. And I hope for all of us that he doesn't completely become overtaken.
Do not think that is something that you need to worry about. And yet, if... Think on it this way. If someone had the strength to turn the dragons from their destruction, yes, it's true, some of them might still choose to chase after what they see as prey. But if they were given a different perspective, led and given the chance to see the other races not as prey to be eaten, but as minds to commune with, would you seek to propose that? Seek to end the destruction that the dragons bring? Or simply seek to end the dragons?
That is not something that can be done any more than one could change the lower planes. Then one could change even the many from controlling people and using them for evil. And there's a hardness and a hatred in her eyes.
And Min nods, considering the point. It says, but the beings of the lower planes, they had a choice. The beings are what is left over when an individual dies, has chosen evil in his life, continues to choose it, and then, when they die, they are given the opportunity to continue in the very evil that they have perpetuated. The beings of the lower planes are not evil in and of themselves. They chose to be evil, and were given over to it.
And have you seen any different from those that invaded our world, drove the Katten out of their lands, destroyed villages and entire people groups?
Not yet. But But I still hold to the thought that the chance exists. I am not saying that all dragons are good. Far from it. I am just saying that a dragon could be good.
I don't believe I'll ever see it.
And
I want to drive them all from this world. Send them below, if that is the only way.
And Mintus, and what would you do if you found a dragon willing to parley?
I would expect it to be a trick of some kind.
So you would give them no chance whatsoever. Your hatred would bring about the very destruction that you seek to end.
I wish to prevent them from bringing destruction on any more of the people of this land.
So once again, it brings me to my question. Do you seek to end them or their destruction? If you could find a way to separate them from their destruction, would you use it?
I cannot see that as ever being possible.
And yet we accomplish the impossible every single day.
Do we really?
And smiles and says, I know someone who is born of the impossible, thrives in the impossible, and finds that anything that is truly considered impossible is nothing.
This is only words, though.
Yes, but words are just the start. First it is words, then it is action, and then it is a new reality. Oruka, I intend to try, at least try, to guide the dragons in the correct direction. You were the one who helped me understand that all races should be given a chance at life before their destruction. Yes, dragons will still try to kill us. Yes, we will still defend ourselves and the others around us. But I intend to give them a chance.
Even call them a race.
Not yet. But soon, we may be able to. My question to you, Uruka, is, if I attempt this, will you stop me?
I won't stop you from trying, but I will not stand by and let them rain more destruction down. I will continue to fight.
That is perfectly fair. If they bring about destruction, if they hurt others, you stop them like any other race. If you see a human beating a child in the streets, you stop him. You see a ruble taking advantage of others, you stop them. Even if you see an elf torturing others for no other purpose, you should treat them the same way you would treat the dragons. But let it be for their actions and not for the race that you choose to stop them.
Would you let a devil wander the streets without putting a stop to it before they can cause more trouble? I see the dragons no differently.
The devil, as I mentioned before, has chosen evil and continues to choose evil.
So have the dragons.
If a devil were to choose good, it would no longer be a devil. The beings of the outer planes do not have a physical form as we do. If he were to change his ways, his outward appearance would change as well. This is not so for the mortal races. If the race is mortal, they still have a chance.
Rika shakes her head. As much as I hate to say it, I don't think we're going to find agreement here.
And says, not at first, I understand. But all I ask is, if you were to meet a good dragon, and I wished to parley with them, all I ask is that you do not stop me.
You'd better find a very good way to guarantee that it will not attack anyone.
If I were to give my word that I could find one such dragon that had promised not to attack, not to harm anyone, and brought them to you, would you at least take the chance to listen?
It would be very difficult.
And yet not impossible. Is that something that we can agree upon?
Believe something better than your word.
Then how about this? How about action? You say that you've never seen a dragon that has stood for the way of light. If I were to, I intend to show one to you.
How do you intend to do that?
And smiles and says, if I had a friend who wished to do that, would you promise not to attack them if I promised that they would not attack you?
Just Just a promise. Promise is not enough.
Then what is it that you need?
I don't know, but I have seen those that use empty promises to destroy all those around them.
I suggest that you have a weapon at the ready, but only hold it at the ready. The moment an aggressive action is made, be free to use it.
She just nods as she is standing there. Carrying no visible weapons.
But Min has seen Ruka defend herself without weapons before and knows that she is still not helpless.
Not for long, but yes, she has.
All right, then. If you have never seen a good dragon, then I intend to show you your first. And Min will drop her polymorph.
Ruka tenses very obviously, but then looks up. Magic can make you many forms. But you are still not a dragon.
True.
And actually, I want to make a check to see if Ruka notices that it isn't even flesh.
Probably not that hard. But she will say, true.
This does not even breathe.
True. But I am also not a nomad. I am not a half-orc. And you watch as she shifts back into a half-orc. I am not a ruble. And she shifts into a ruble. I am not a kitsune. And she shifts into your form. Though very much holding on to her own aspects. No form is what we truly are. It is the soul inside.
And it seems that some innately have corrupted souls.
It's some...
If they even are souls, and not just driven by primordial desire for destruction.
And yet we will never know unless we look, unless we search, unless we try. I am not saying that I will succeed. Not the first time, not the second time, not even the thousandth time. But I will try. I can see that for you, you wish to end the threat of the dragon by ending all the dragons. And it would be very difficult for you to kill every dragon on your own. But if we could start a spark, convince one dragon that there is a better way, and that dragon convinces another dragon, and those dragons convince more dragons, in time,
You could turn an enemy into an ally. We could turn the dragons against themselves. The end result would be the betterment of us all.
You are free to do what you wish, but I will continue to do what I believe needs to be done.
And Vin will nod and say, I understand. Oh, perhaps at least this conversation is the very first step towards a world where the humanoids and the dragons can walk together in harmony.
Rika just shakes her head, believing it, wishful thinking.
We shall see who is right. If you are right, well, then I have wasted my time. But if I am right, I potentially hold the chance, I believe, to save the world.
Ruka sighs. I need to be getting back. Still got a long ways to go.
That's fair, and I will let you get back to your work, because I also have mine. But, well, continue to think about what I've said. And also continue to think of what I've said regarding the book. I think, as I am now, we have significantly less to worry about the book than we did before. I think I could read it without danger.
Potentially I could as well, but I don't want to try without someone else around, as just in case.
Nonsense. Perhaps Jack. We could talk with her about it. First need to find her, though. But
It'd be good to see her again.
It would be. Oh, that does bring me to one final point. And Min will shift back into her nomad form, because this is what the form she is most comfortable with. Reach into her bag and pull out a spiral-bound book. And she will hand one of the books to Ruka.
What is this?
This is a book of messages. I got it from... and smiles. An old traveler. If you write on one of the pages in one book, it will appear on the page in another book.
Interesting. Was it you or Randy mentioned something similar you saw at the Abbey?
Yes. I think so, actually. I'm not sure if they work exactly the same way, but there is a good possibility. But with this book, communication will be much easier.
We'll be able to send things immediately instead of having to wait on your vestments to recharge.
Indeed. Which is incredibly handy.
Though I do plan on using the day I know where I contact you to see if I can find Jack, at least to talk with her a little while. Especially about the book. I think that she should be involved in this.
I agree with that. An out of character question, this book of messages, is it limited to 50 page uses, or do the pages erase themselves for reuse?
It is limited to 50 uses. The pages do not erase. There is, I would say that there's enough room on the page, though, to have a something of a back and forth before you would probably fill up a page.
Okay. So still short conversations, write small.
Yeah, essentially.
Get someone to cast shrink person on both sides and write really small. Okay. I may have some more interesting things to tell you here soon. I'll write it out if I do.
I'll try to preserve the pages. I'd like to keep that for as long as I can. Oh, and I might have some interesting things to tell you too. By the way, did you know? The world is round.
It is. I have read of this, but not many have been able to travel far enough to see. What did you do this time?
And just smiles and says, "Don't worry. I'll also let you know a bit more about the moon as soon as I get back."
Ruka just has a slightly incredulous look on her face.
And continues to smile and says, "Until next time."
Just make sure you actually come back.
Oh, I took extra precautions this time. I almost got stuck once. Almost.
Please don't do that.
I'll try my best, but hey, no promises. And men will teleport away.
Ruka will lean up against a tree and sit there for a good half hour, 45 minutes before going back to camp.
All right. And I think it's a little bit early, but I know that Celtic had to dodge out early. We didn't really get a chance to jump back over to him. And with 91 away, we haven't been able to follow up with Barkus and Philia, but I think we're going to close for the night then on that point, as Ruka has much to think about, as does Min. And as we begin to look towards the future, one that may not be clouded by the villains of your past, and seems to stand with new mysteries and opportunities to come. All right. Well, good game, guys.
Woo! Heavy RP.
Yeah.
So good. So good.